All this week on The Takeaway, we'll talk with people who are nominated for Oscars and those who've worked behind the scenes on Oscar-nominated films. Take a listen to this clip. It's from the film Killing in the Name, which is nominated for Best Documentary Short.
She was dancing with her friends, and I was dancing with my friends. I was so happy.
I was giving my dad a kiss. My dad touched my hand like he's, I'm proud of you.
Chaos and blood in the streets of Amman, Jordan tonight as explosions rip through three popular hotels.
Killing in the Name is focused on Ashraf al-Khaled, whose 2005 wedding was attacked by a suicide bomber, killed three out of four of his and his wife's parents, a total of 27 of their guests. The film follows Ashraf on his mission to stop jihadists who advocate for terrorism. And along the way, he meets a pretty diverse cast of characters, including a recruiter of suicide bombers, the same group that was involved in the bombing of his own wedding, children who are being trained to become future terrorists, and widows who've lost their husbands to suicide bombings. And director Jed Rothstein joins us now in the studio. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Celeste. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. You know, this is a really tough storyline for you to take on in a documentary. Documentaries generally, I mean, to a certain extent, they give us answers. But this one not only doesn't really give us answers, but it's about a problem that when you get to the documentary, you have a feeling that this is, it's almost insurmountable. Like, how do you fight it?
Yeah, I mean, as a filmmaker, it certainly would have been nice if Ashraf had been able to convince the terrorists that he spoke with, or the young kids in the madrasa in Indonesia that he spoke with, that violence was wrong. But I didn't really expect that he would be able to do that. As you say, it's an incredible task. I think what he's doing is starting an important conversation that wasn't taking place. And I think, as we've seen around the world recently, it's these tiny little steps, these tiny little actions, when one person just stands up and says, let's think about doing this differently, that can start a larger wave of activity. So I don't think Ashraf was expecting to immediately solve terrorism, but I think he was taking a huge step to really break down this kind of wall of silence within his community in terms of talking about how problems are solved and you know, can problems be addressed through nonviolence instead of through terrorism.
You spend a number of minutes of film where we're seeing Ashraf in his home with his wife, with his daughter, mm-hmm. playing games with his daughter. What was the purpose in the film of including the footage of him at home?
One of the reasons I chose to focus the film on Ashraf as opposed to other people who also are survivors of terrorism is because Ashraf has taken this horrible experience and turned it around into a positive, forward-looking mission that he's really doing not to avenge his parents so much as to make a better world for his daughter. And to me, that's a really compelling reason to take on something like this. It's a really compelling reason to root for him as a character, and it's a really compelling motivator for everything that he's doing. So I thought it was important to see Ashraf in the context of what he's fighting for, which is his family, his daughter, you know, a better life for the future.
You know, there's a moment in the film, and this is when he travels to Indonesia, and he has videotaped one of the widows whose husband was killed in the Bali bombing. And he's going back to the village where they're possibly training young upcoming jihadists. And he plays the message from the widow, who is just unbelievably moving, speaking directly to these boys. And the boys are smirking. They think it's kind of funny or amusing, it seems. Mm-hmm. It's a really, really painful moment. Like, it was so difficult for me to watch that. And Ashraf dedicating his life to this to a certain extent. And this is the reaction. I mean, what was that moment like to film?
It was scary and riveting. And I think it shows the mountain that Ashraf has to climb. It's very difficult. But I do think, remembering back to the Pleistocene era when I was a 16-year-old boy, 16-year-old boys, which is about the age of those kids you're referring to, an adult's never going to tell them something, and they're never going to react to something by saying, oh, yeah, that's totally right. What we were thinking is totally wrong. Our group think is totally wrong, and you, Mr. Adult, are showing us the light, and we're just going to be completely different. That's just not the way that I think we are programmed to react at that age. But I do think that Ashraf could plant a seed with them. I think that he could open up a possibility of a different way of thinking about things that they may not access that for years, but I think it may hopefully introduce to them the notion that what they're being taught, the world that they're surrounded in this pretty isolated madrasa is not necessarily the only way that things can be, and that violence is not the only solution to the grievances that they have.
Yeah, and we had a discussion with the father of a suicide bomber, trying to make the dad see that what his son had done was not going to let his son into heaven. That by becoming a jihadist, his son would not therefore automatically get into heaven. That was a tough conversation too.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the most difficult and unpleasant, or I don't say unpleasant, but it was really uncomfortable scenes. That's a better word. Thank you. It was one of the most uncomfortable scenes I've ever filmed, because on the one hand, your heart is aching for this man who clearly is not a jihadist.
He loves his son.
You know, he's a very nice man, and his son did this horrible, horrible thing that he can't really come to grips with. And I think in a way that scene is a metaphor for the whole film. It's not that the Muslim community or Ashraf's community is in favor of violence. I mean, almost no one is. Very, very tiny group of people are the violent militants. But it has been a very hard conversation to have publicly and to really acknowledge that there's this problem and to kind of face it head on and figure out a way forward, as Ashraf is trying to do. And I think that scene with Mansoor was really indicative of how tough that is. It was really hard for him to acknowledge the incredible pain that his son had caused, even though I think he knew deep down that is in fact what happened.
You know, I got to ask you, this is a documentary short. If you had the Ken Burns budget and length of time, would the documentary have benefited from all that extra footage and all that extra time?
In this case, I don't think so. I think actually the short form is great for documentaries and for live action. I think it's just a different, in the same way that short stories are great and novels are also great, they're just different modes of communication. And I think that this story lended itself to being about this length. You know, could you always use more money? Certainly you could in documentaries. We're always working at the edge of tight budgets. But I felt like this story was perfectly suited to the length at which we made it.
Jed Rothstein is the director of Killing in the Name. It is nominated for Best Documentary Short. Jed, good luck.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Celeste.
Well, we're following the news from Libya all morning long. Here's the latest. The BBC is reporting that there is a heavy army presence in Tripoli. There have also been reports of the use of machine guns, snipers, and military planes against protesters. The death toll now stands in the hundreds and is expected to rise. Witnesses say fighter jets once again bombed portions of the city, and the main concern are reports of roving packs of mercenaries in the streets shooting at anyone who comes out to protest.
Head over to our website. You can get some of the latest information, some details, context for what's happening throughout the Middle East, help you understand it. That's at thetakeaway.org. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm Todd Zwillick, and for John Hockenberry, this is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.